Well, good morning. I invite you here to Bonesville Mennonite Church, and also welcome those who are watching on the live stream this morning. And today is Youth Sunday, so we invite you to enjoy that as we find out what the youth have been doing here in the past couple of months. And just would like to invite the ushers up on this first song as we begin to worship, and invite you to stand for worship if you are able.
Shall we pray? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Isaiah 43:7, you say, Lord, everyone who is called by my name I create it for my glory. Father, you revealed your glory to us as we celebrated Easter and Jesus' resurrection. You manifested your glory in Acts 6 by raising a woman called Dorcas from the dead through Peter's prayer and intercession. Dorcas was a seamstress, full of good works, and some of today's offering after the budget expense is dedicated to the work of the sewing circle in making quilts, comforters, etc., a little bit the work that Dorcas did, to be sent all over the earth. As many believed after Dorcas raising from the dead, may you, Father, receive glory and praise from these gifts which are made by the sewing circle. May you also bless those involved in the men's and women's ministry and the leadership training. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Just pray your blessing on this service. And we give you control this morning over what you want to do. God, we just pray that you'll bless Brian as he brings the message this morning. Just may he feel your touch. And may he speak with clarity and boldness this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Clark Brubacher, and I'm the president of the youth group here at Bowmansville. In the last 2 months, the youth group has enjoyed a laid-back schedule after our busy February with the Valentine's banquet. In February, we had our Valentine's banquet as usual, and thank you to you, the congregation, for your generosity towards the youth group in that. We also had our usual two Bible studies as well as a committee meeting, and then at the end of the month, we went roller skating. In March, we had our guy-girl weekend, where the guys ate pretty good, thanks to Tyler. You would have seen what we ate, but our slideshow didn't save when Cameron finished it, so hence there's no slideshow. And then with March following the Valentine's banquet, we enjoyed a slower March where we had our two Bible studies and then our committee meeting. And that brings us to April, where so far we've had one of our Bible studies. In January, I ask you to pray for our upcoming Valentine's banquet. Thank you for your prayers as we had a smooth banquet. I ask today that you continue to pray for our summer service project as we try to line up transportation. Thank you for your continued support of our youth group.
Thanks, Clark. So yeah, we have had kind of a slower youth group schedule here lately, but the youth have been busy with something else, a lot of them anyway, and that's Bible quizzing. So I'd like to take a minute now and just recognize the Bible quizzing season that we had this year, because 2024 was a Bible quizzing season to remember. So I'm going to introduce your name if you were part of Bible quizzing, and when I do, if you could either stand up, if you don't want to stand up, at least just wave and wave like long enough so that when there's people looking around, they can see who you are. Okay? So one more thing I'd like to say is let's clap. Let's give a pre-clap now, and then I'll introduce everybody. We'll have to clap for each person. Okay? Okay. So, we had some judges that participated this year as judges. That was Lauren, Derek, and Hannah. Are you guys here? Lauren, Derek, and Hannah are back there. I don't see Lauren here this morning. Okay. Thank you, guys. Coaches. I think I got them all. Doug and Sierra. Audrey. I don't see her here. Brett's here, Randy, and Melanie. Thank you, guys. Okay, the quizzers that I'd like to introduce now for the one team were Tyler, Clark, and Caitlin H. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to introduce your 2024 AMAC Ohio Tournament Champion Bible Quizzing Team. Hailing from Denver, Pennsylvania, Juliana Clutch Haller. The only two-time Ohio tournament champion in Bowmansville history, she calls Terry Hill, Pennsylvania home. Emma, watch that girl, she did it again, Musser! Yeah. He called Mexico, Ecuador, Bowmansville, and Moton home. One half of the amazing Humbles, David El Hombre Humble. And last but not least, the other half of the amazing Humbles, Katie Bulgaris Relampigo Humble. All right, thanks a lot, guys. That was a good season of Bible quizzing. David, I think I did all right. Katie, I'm sure I butchered that. So now it's time for the children's story. So you can come front, and there's space here in this bench over here. And if we run out of space, we'll figure something out. I think we got just enough bench. I heard it. Who knows what this is?
Trombone.
A trombone. Yeah, that's right. This particular one is a P-bone. It is a Jig's P-bone. It's a plastic trombone. So it seems like the slide is locked. I'm not quite sure. I'm not going to be playing it. But it is a trombone, that's right. So if you were to decide that you wanted to play an instrument like this, the first thing you'd have to do is you'd have to learn the basics, the basic fundamental things about playing an instrument like this. And this particular instrument, before you can pick the whole thing up and play music, you have to learn something called embouchure. Okay? An embouchure is a word that describes how you make your lips go to blow into the mouthpiece to make music come out of here. All right? So let's all practice embouchure. What you're going to do, I'm going to set this down. What you're going to do, is there embouchure in a clarinet? Is embouchure something for clarinet? No? Okay. So what you're going to do with the trombone embouchure is I want everybody to take your lips and press them tight together. You got it? Okay, now, just for a little short period of time, blow air out between your pressed together lips. That's right. Okay, that's what you do. That's called embouchure. The way your lips are pressed together is called embouchure. And that's how you blow into an instrument like that to get sound out of it. And that's kind of a basic fundamental thing that you'd have to learn. Now, if you were to sit down and practice embouchure, I think what you would do is you would adjust the amount of air that you're blowing out, or maybe put your bottom lip over your top lip or your top lip over your bottom lip. I'm looking over there for... I'm drawing a blank. Sheldon, yeah, because he played the trombone. I'm looking for affirmation from him, but I think he's overcounting money. But anyway, yeah, you would adjust the way you blow out between your lips to get a little bit of a different sound. So when you would start practicing the trombone, the first thing you would do probably is just practice with the mouthpiece, and you would adjust the way you do that. To adjust the sound that comes out of there so you can get a couple different notes without actually using the rest of the instrument. So I'll see if I can demonstrate this, and I'm going to cover my mouth so I don't spit all over everything, okay? How about I play Mary Had a Little Lamb, okay? And then maybe one of yous wants to try something, or I'll at least start playing it, okay? Okay. get the picture, right? Anybody want to try it? Cover your mouth so you don't spit all over each other. Anybody want to try it? I bet you can do it. It's a little harder than playing a kazoo, but it's the same idea. Nobody wants to try it. How about we do it together? You want to do it with me?
No.
No? Okay. Okay, well, we don't have to. But the point is, if you were to play an instrument like a trombone, and there's several other instruments that embouchure comes into play too, you would have to learn the basics of embouchure before you move on to playing the rest of the instrument. All right? So remember that. Basics are important. Now, we have a snack, which is also important, behind you. You can see Renee and grab a snack and then go back to your parents. Okay, so I just have a few announcements while everyone's getting seated. First of all, in both foyers, there is slips of paper with grocery items on that you can take and buy that item and bring it in for the before and after school program. So there's, in both foyers, there's information about that. Also, in both foyers, there's information, there's a sign-up sheet and information about our youth group soup sale. We're going to be having... not hamburger, cheeseburger soup. And the information is on the sign-up sheets. If you guys sign up and say how many quarts you want, we'll know how much soup to make. We generally don't make a whole lot of extra, so if you want soup, sign up, please. Also, thanks, Clark, and all the youth, Emma, and the worship team, and all the youth that are behind the scenes doing your part for the service this morning. So we all have our part, and my part was that what I'm tasked with is receiving a message from God and then delivering that message this morning. And the topic is conflict resolution as it pertains to youth. We're going to be starting a series on conflict resolution, and I'm supposed to be talking about how it pertains to youth. So in preparing to receive this message, I was praying and studying, and something became pretty clear to me, and it's that conflict resolution among youth happens pretty much the same way that conflict resolution happens among everybody else. The specific conflicts might be different, but the way the resolution happens, it's kind of the same. And that is that we need to go back to the basics of our faith. So when you try to draw the basics out of a book this thick, it can be, I don't know if I want to say difficult, but there's a lot of different ways you could do that. But for our purposes this morning, we're going to look at Matthew 22, 36 to 40. So you can turn there and read along if you want to. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. This is the basic fundamental stuff that we're going to need to apply as we consider conflict resolution. Starting in 36, "Teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, this is the most important, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. A second, equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." Love. Love is foundational. Love is the answer to conflict resolution. So Jesus says, love God and love your neighbor. So what does it mean to love your neighbor? Well, the youth group is going to give an example of that here this summer, and we did in the past, going on our service project. We go somewhere, usually it's hot. This year we're going to Minnesota, so it won't be like wintertime cold, but it might not be quite as hot as, say, South Carolina. But we usually go somewhere hot, and we sweat and grunt for the betterment of somebody else. So we're giving up a little bit of what we have to make a better situation for somebody else. And that's what love is, to give of yourself to make it better for somebody else. And we have fun when we do that. I know a lot of the youth, myself included, look forward to going on the summer service project. It's not like it's a burden, but where the real sacrifice comes in is this is the time for someone who spends most of their days in high school to work. And it's important to work so you can keep a car, you can pay for college, you can get money. It's important. And others are preparing for a fall sport, so they might have to put that on the back burner. It's the sacrifice of giving something up that you like to go and be on the summer service project. Some of you have heard me say this, and maybe this makes more sense after saying that. Love doesn't smell like Axe body wash, right? Love smells like stale cigarettes and wet dog. I don't know if that makes any sense to anybody or not, but that's what love is. So, to love others. The other thing talked about in Matthew 22, 36 to 40, not just loving others, but loving God. And the kind of love that we're talking about here means to love God and to exalt God with all you have. Again, giving of yourself so that there's nothing left of you, so you're dependent upon the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to come into you and build you back up. And that goes more than just singing in church Sunday morning. That's loving God with all you have, so you're depending on Him to build you back up. The basic fundamental skill of conflict resolution requires the basic fundamental skill of love, right? And that's what we're talking about here, love. So, we know that love is important for conflict resolution in youth and others. So what about this basic fundamental stuff? When you understand basic fundamental stuff, it doesn't matter what your specific conflict is. You learn the basics first, like with playing the trombone. You learn the basics first, and then you apply those to the specifics in your life. When I was grade school age, I had dreams of playing football. I loved playing football in the backyard. I wanted to go run and catch the dive and catch the touchdown pass or kick the game-winning field goal. That's what I thought playing football was. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to go out for the team. So I went out for the football team, and we spent really hours and hours doing these drills on basic fundamental stuff. The one drill we did was you get into a three-point stance, which I'm not going to demonstrate, but you get into a three-point stance, and then the coach blows the whistle, and you lunge forward out of that stance, and you put your hips on the ground, arch your back, and put your hands out in front of you, and put your head up, and the coaches will come around, and you hold that position, and the coaches come around and critique you. Oh, you need to arch your back a little more. You're not looking up. You got to look. Get your eyes to the sky, they'd say. Look up. Get your hands out in front of you. And then after 30 seconds or a minute of critiquing, you get back into your stance again, the whistle will blow, you'd fire out and do it again. And they're walking around critiquing you over and over and over again. And it's like, what does this have to do with running for a touchdown or catching a touchdown pass? But it's those basic fundamentals. It's making your muscles get a memory so that when you're playing football, you can get into a basic athletic stance with your hips down and your back arched and your head up, and you're ready to do whatever specific task you're doing, right? So you're doing these drills of basics, and you got to learn the basics and get them down pat so you can move on to the specifics. Same thing can be said with playing trombone. If you were to pick up that instrument and get some formal teaching, I suppose you would probably spend the first few lessons with just the mouthpiece practicing that embouchure so you can combine those notes with the other notes on the slide so you can make music. So we need love, which is a basic fundamental thing. Jesus understood that general fundamental teaching can be applied to specific situations. I'm going to read Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Starting in verse 24, Matthew 7, 24. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on the rock, on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds his house on the sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So I wanted to read this because Jesus talks about the importance of foundations, and we're talking about foundational stuff. And I agree with this. Foundations are important to a house. But that the specific idea that a house needs a solid foundation is not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was not teaching builders how to build a house. He's teaching a general concept that applies to your life. So Jesus was actually really good at this. Some of the most effective teaching that Jesus did was done through the use of parables. A parable is a story with a basic or a foundational concept, right? But the thing you have to remember is that basic and foundational concept then has to be applied to your specific situation. The parable of the sower and the seeds is not about how to become a more productive farmer. The parable of the vineyard workers is not about an honest day's work for a fair wage. The parable of the mustard seed is not about the biology of a seed, right? It's these basic concepts that we can then apply to the specific things in our lives. Jesus was not just an interesting short story author. He wants us to apply the moral of the story to the bigger picture in our lives. Conflict resolution requires the foundational skill of real love. So we got to have that foundational skill, and we got to have love. So Tony introduced a graphic last week on the slides, and I don't have a slide, but I got some pictures here this morning. So how does this play into this idea of conflict resolution? So let me just say before I get into that, it's not lost on me that if you're out here on the fringe of bad conflict, you have to look inward to get to good conflict or to get to productive conflict, right? And if you're out here on this side in artificial peace, which is also bad conflict, if you're in artificial peace, you have to look inward again to get to a point of productive conflict. So you got to look inward. So bad conflict. What is bad conflict? So bad conflict is pretty easy to explain. What is the opposite of love? It's not hate. It's selfishness, right? Bad conflict is when both parties involved in the conflict are selfish. If you're selfish, if you decide selfishness is for you, then you kind of make yourself unable to love, right? So you're not able to do that foundational stuff of loving God and loving others. So that's bad conflict. So in a minute, we're going to read Genesis 2, 18 to 20, and it's going to pertain to artificial peace. So I'm going to do my best to explain the message that came to me here. You have to bear with me. It kind of loops around a little bit, and I hope it makes sense to you. But we're going to start by reading Genesis 2, 18 to 20 to get this idea of what artificial peace is. Genesis 2, 18 to 20. Now, I'm going to read from my Bible here, which is the NLT, I believe. NLT. And I'm going to substitute a word that's used in the King James Version. Okay? So, starting in verse 18. Then the Lord God said, "It's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helpmeet." That's from the King James Version. It says helper in my version. "I will make him a helper who is just right for him." So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them, and he chose a name for each one. He gave the names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But still there was no helper just right for him. So he's looking for the ultimate helpmeet to walk through life's conflicts with Adam. And he tries the animals first to find this helpmeet. So at our house we have a dog. He's probably about like that from his shoulder to the bottom of his feet. And because of his size, you look over top of him, and you don't always see him. So he ends up getting kicked and stepped on, and sometimes, not always. And sometimes we might even forget to give him food or water for a little while. He's generally pretty healthy. But when he's under the table and we're eating and he's begging, we just ignore him. You know, we treat him like a dog. We don't always treat him as good as we should. And Renee's part of this, right? We all treat him like that, but Renee treats him like that too. But in spite of this, now remember, we're talking about artificial conflict here. In spite of this, when Renee goes away for a while and then she comes back home, Spencer, the dog, goes crazy. It's like he's being reunited with some long-lost friend that he hasn't seen for years. And he runs so fast that he doesn't go anywhere, you know. And he's like jumping up at her, and he doesn't let her alone until she picks him up and gives him some attention, which I think she likes to do. But he totally ignores all the bad stuff that happened to him, because all he wants to do is make Renee happy. That's kind of in the nature of a dog. I've heard it said that if you give a dog a treat, they look up at you and say, "Oh, you must be God." If you give a cat a treat, they say, "Oh, I must be God." But it's in the nature of a dog to be loyal, right? He doesn't care about anything except making Renee happy. If puppy love was the best way to move through life's conflicts, when God was looking for that helpmeet for Adam, he would have stopped at the animals, and we'd be stuck in this place of artificial peace. And if the ignorant, blind loyalty of a dog sounds like a good way to resolve conflicts to you, let me remind you, you might be the dog. But there's a better way. Good conflict or productive conflict. It's through the creation of woman that God finally found a suitable helpmeet, is what the King James Version says, for Adam. So, I heard it said that when this section of Genesis 2 was translated into English, it was difficult to find a word in the English language to describe the relationship between Eve and Adam. So helpmeet is what came up. Sometimes languages work that way. My intent was to say that Katie has lightning thumbs. Does that make any sense? I don't think it did. No one's nodding. But it was Katie Lightning Thumbs Humble. On Tuesday, I was with a lady who speaks Spanish, and I asked her how to say lightning thumbs. And she didn't say that. She said something else, but she had to think about it for a while, leading me to think that maybe lightning thumbs is one of those words that's hard to translate from English to Spanish. But the relationship between Eve and Adam was described as helpmeet. My wife Renee's sitting here. I never, ever referred to Renee as my helpmeet, except maybe in a Bible study or something when we were talking about it. But that's not a word that I normally use. So this is something that I talk with my brother about sometimes. And through what he said and through my own research, I came up with something that makes a little more sense to me for a word or words that describes what Eve was to Adam. And it's something like a worthy opponent. All right? Eve was Adam's worthy opponent. We're talking about good conflict here. So, going back to Genesis here, when God was developing this ultimate partnership to resolve life's conflicts together, there could be no selfishness. Puppy love doesn't work. You need to treat the opponent as worthy. By loving God first, His Holy Spirit will fill you with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So love God first and get that. And then treat your opposition as worthy, worthy to be loved. When you do that, the best resolution is going to come to the top. Conflict resolution requires the basic fundamental skill of real love. A few weeks ago at Bible study, I asked the youth to name things that somebody in their stage of life or their age would see as conflicts. And they did a really good job. We had a great big pile of conflicts listed on the whiteboard, and I forgot to take a picture of them. I wanted to have that picture so I could put them in the notes here and talk about specific conflicts that youth face today. But the good news is, you are all either youth or you were a youth, so you know what conflicts youth face. So the next time you find yourself in conflict when a young person is involved, you owe it to them to love them unselfishly and to not go handing out resolutions like it's a piece of paper and a fortune cookie or a free sample at the meat counter. You owe it to them to consider them a worthy opponent, worthy of being loved. If you're truly looking for the best resolution, you will treat your opponent as worthy to be loved. Let's pray. God, I thank you for everybody here today, and I thank you for Jesus and what he did for us, and we all get into conflicts that need resolved, and I just pray that when we do that, we can remember to love you and apply the fruits of the Spirit and love our opposition. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we have a song. Yeah, we have an announcement about Bible school here.
Good morning, everyone. Just wanted to give you a quick update on Bible school regarding positions we're still looking for, and just to kind of give you an inside scoop onto what how Bible school is going to look a little differently this year. So, the dates for Bible school are Monday, June 10th through Thursday, June 13th, and our theme for this year is Camp Firelight, a Summer Camp Adventure with God. So, to embrace the summer camp thing, the theme, we are actually hosting Bible school outside this year. Everything that we do is going to be outside here in the parking lot, in the grass area, and we're going to do kind of like a big camp out theme to embrace just the summer camp feel of it. The different positions we're still looking for are we need a teacher to run our preschool games and our craft site. We are looking for a snack leader. What that is you're pretty much in charge of deciding what snacks we have each night and how that looks. We're also looking for elementary crew helpers. You would just be walking around with the kids, interacting and having some fun there. And then obviously registration as families are coming in to register with their children. This is for ages 3 and then any student that finishes grade 6 this year. If you have questions or you simply just want to look over things, if you're interested in leading a site, let me know. And we look forward to having your children with VBS with us this year.
Thanks, Amanda. So in a minute, you're going to leave. Don't forget to sign up for soup and to take some slips of paper and get some groceries for the before and after school program. Okay, so you can stand for the benediction. Go in a spirit of love that allows your conflicts to produce good things. You're dismissed.